White House backs off border wall demand,
making a shutdown a lot less likely.
Arkansas carries out double execution.
After more than 20 years, justice has prevailed.
Bill O'Reilly resurfaces.
I'm very confident the truth will come out.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, one of the key hurdles to a spending deal in Washington to keep the government running is now off the table. President Trump dropping his insistence that border wall money be included. We're live this morning with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Well, the president is signaling he'd be okay with putting money for the border wall in next year's budget. The immediate question is how to fund agencies through the end of this fiscal year. Aides say the president would be willing to sign a measure that increases funds for border security more generally, perhaps with added money for surveillance and patrols. Top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer said that the president is taking the wall off the table is good for the country. It certainly dials down the temperature ahead of Friday's shutdown deadline. Steve?
Well, Stephen, tomorrow we're due to get details of the president's tax cut plan. Reports indicate he's intent on fulfilling that campaign promise to try to slash the corporate rate to 15%.
White House officials do not want to get ahead of the president's announcement tomorrow, but it is just what he pledged in the campaign, to lower corporate taxes from 35% to 15%. A bit surprising he's moving forward, though, as one analysis says such a drastic cut in government revenues could blow a $2.4 trillion hole in future deficits. Steve?
Well, one of the president's key advisors, his daughter Ivanka, is on her first official trip overseas. She's in Germany, and CBS's Mark Phillips is covering.
On the face of it, Ivanka Trump has come to Berlin for a high-powered conference on promoting the role of working women. But she's also here because Angela Merkel knows an opportunity when she sees one. Political analysts here, like Josef Brummel, say it was a way to use a side door to get into the White House.
You get access to Donald Trump, but maybe a moderating effect to Donald Trump.
This is three visits in one by Ivanka Trump, the first daughter, Ivanka Trump, the presidential advisor, and Ivanka Trump, the businesswoman.
The U.S. Navy is conducting military exercises with South Korea and Japan, and Asia correspondent Adriana Diaz says there was action in North Korea amid growing tensions.
Today, Kim Jong-un reportedly ordered artillery exercises in North Korea. Now, today marks the 85th anniversary of North Korea's military. So these exercises celebrate this benchmark for North Korea, but also attempt to send a signal to the rest of the world, especially the U.S., that North Korea is militarily strong.
Death penalty opponents turned out last night at the governor's mansion in Little Rock. As Arkansas carried out the first double execution in this country in nearly 17 years, two convicted murderers were put to death. Lynn Scott was the sister of one of them.
I just kept praying. I wanted it to go smoothly and quickly, and you're watching those minutes. I didn't want to watch the clock, but I had to.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohn.
The Supreme Court has been clear, at least so far, that it's not going to stop these executions, that if they are going to be stopped, it's going to have to come from the lower federal courts or from the state's courts. And indeed, at least a few of the original eight executions will not take place in this 11-day span because of state court rulings.
A New Jersey Methodist Church court is due to hear a case that's been brought up against the denomination's first openly gay bishop, Karen Oliveto. She's married to another woman. William Lawrence is a theologian at SMU.
There is a wide range of possible outcomes. The judicial council could simply say, we have no jurisdiction in this matter. The council potentially could rule in a way that would have the effect of voiding the election that occurred last July.
In a new podcast, Bill O'Reilly suggests there's more to the story than what's come out surrounding his firing by Fox News.
I am sad that I'm not on television anymore. I was very surprised how it all turned out. I can't say a lot because there's much stuff going on right now.
O'Reilly was let go in a sexual harassment scandal. Stormy weather has caused pain in the southeast. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Roads, bridges, homes, and businesses have been swamped by floodwaters in parts of Kentucky, Virginia, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. Many of Susie Jones' neighbors near Clinton, North Carolina, are in a bad way.
People are so devastated. There's some, you know, just feel hopeless. Some people just don't see nothing else left. It's just really dramatic right now.
In South Carolina, caskets floated in a flooded cemetery outside Georgetown in Florence. 40-plus people are homeless after heavy rain caused the roof of an apartment building to collapse.
Chicago's Department of Aviation has released the account of an officer who forcibly removed a Kentucky doctor from a United Airlines flight. He says the passenger was verbally and physically abusive and bloodied his mouth on an armrest when he lost his balance. The doctor plans to file a lawsuit. Overseas, we're learning Russian hackers are suspected of targeting one of the candidates in the French election. Live to CBS's Vicky Barker.
Aides for the surprise frontrunner Emmanuel Macron say they thwarted a Russian-linked hack attack back in December, confirming suspicions that the centrist presidential candidate might come in for the same kind of cyber espionage that helped derail Hillary Clinton's campaign. Macron will face off against the anti-immigrant populist Marine Le Pen in 2 weeks. Steve?
Now to Hollywood, where CBS's Steve Futterman tells us labor trouble could be the next plot twist.
Members of the Writers Guild of America have authorized a strike. The move comes just a week before the Guild's contract with major motion picture and TV producers is set to expire. The biggest issue is compensation, especially in the new emerging world of online media like Netflix and Amazon.
Well, it's hard to keep Elton John down.
I'm still standing.
A bacterial infection flattened the 70-year-old superstar, landing him in intensive care for 2 days. It happened during a South American tour. He's recovering now, but he's canceled a month's worth of concerts, including stops in California and Las Vegas. He hopes to resume his performing schedule in June. On this day 100 years ago, another great entertainer was born.
A tisket, a tasket, a brown and yellow basket.
Ella Fitzgerald, the first lady of song and the first African-American woman to win a Grammy. She died back in 1996, leaving a treasure trove of music, more than 200 albums. A supercomputer that got the best of humankind on a game show has a new target.
Watson, what is Arabic? You are right.
Watson, the IBM supercomputer that gained fame by defeating a pair of Jeopardy champions in 2011, is going to be working to catch Wall Street cheaters. Big Blue says Watson has new technology designed to analyze emails, chats, and trading data, looking for suspicious activity with the idea of tracking down rogue traders at financial firms. Watson can also analyze regulatory text to identify legal obligations and help determine whether companies are abiding by all the rules. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Author Robert Persig has died at 88. He's best known for the 1974 novel Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. It was based on a motorcycle trip he took with his 12-year-old son, and it became a best-selling cultural touchstone. 100 publishers turned it down. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.